KUAF is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
This day, Valentine's Day, is a holiday that embraces attraction and love, but often in the pop culture form of a song, chocolates, or a Hallmark card. The new book, Love 2.0, by Barbara Fredrickson, considers love on a much deeper level. Ozarks at Largest Katie Hendrickson has this review.
Author and emotional scientist Barbara L. Fredrickson wants us to forget about the love we typically hear on the radio, the one that's centered on desire and yearns for touch from a new squeeze. She describes that definition of love, that one of exclusivity, as a collective failure of imagination in her new book, Love 2.0, How Our Supreme Emotion Affects Everything We Feel, Think, Do, and Become. Now, an Atlantic Monthly Review headline says, "There's no such thing as everlasting love, parentheses, according to science. But rather than being sensational or a total downer, Fredrickson makes the case that cultivating connectivity in all your daily interactions makes love non-exclusive, forever renewable, with physical and mental benefits for us all. Love, as she defines it, is a micro moment of positivity resonance. Seconds of connection between two or more people that actually physically enhance the body and soul. The problem, she states, is that all too often you simply don't take the time that's needed to truly connect with others. To the contrary, contemporary society, with its fast-changing technology and oppressive workloads, baits you to speed through your day at a pace that's completely antithetical to connection. She states that loneliness is physical, and in our culture of isolation, her theory on love is a practical way to make it abound for everyone. She argues that love is as vital as a nutrient to us as soil, water, and sunlight are for plants. Now, Fredrickson is not simply a self-help guru trying to cash in on our longing for love. She is the Keenan Distinguished Professor of Psychology and Director of Positive Emotions and Psychology Laboratory at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She's presented her findings twice to the Dalai Lama. The book is broken down into two parts and is so well written, it's hard not to simply quote extensively from the text. In the first, she describes her definition of love and the biology behind it. And in the second, she talks about practical ways you can build your own moments of positivity resonance through meditation practices such as loving kindness meditation that relies heavily on Buddhism, which holds kindness as one of the four noblest modes of consciousness. Far from being touchy-feely, she breaks down the science of love in Chapter 3, Love's Biology, which opens with an epigraph from Emily Dickinson. "The soul must always stand ajar, ready to welcome the ecstatic experience." Rather than alienating readers with scientific jargon, she breaks down the working of the so-called cuddle or love hormone, oxytocin, in simple terms. It's long known to play a key role in social bonding and attachment, and is shown to dramatically make people more trusting, and is a key player in the calm and connect response. This neuropeptide is produced in more abundance when you have moments of positivity resonance, or put more simply, when you share a connection and feel in sync with another human being. She then goes on to discuss the role of the 10th cranial nerve, the key conduit that connects brain to body, known as the vagus nerve, which supports and coordinates experiences of love. Scientists can measure vagus tone to see your biological aptitude for love by tracking heart rate in conjunction to breathing rate. Scientific studies have shown those with higher vagal tone are more flexible, healthier, more mentally adept, and have better skills in sociability. That high vagal tone is taken as a high loving potential. While quoting amply from scientific studies, she doesn't alienate. And she's not about quick fixes or any surface fake positivity. which she explains can actually hinder true growth. That fakeness is not a cultivation of compassion, which she believes is love. She goes on to describe a tapestry in which we have love and good fortune interwoven among darker threads of pain, sorrow, and loss. And it is that compassion that she hopes to build. In 195 pages, Fredrickson sells me on this radical reinvention of love and makes the case as to why practicing more connection, those micro moments of positivity resonance between two or more people, will benefit individuals and society greatly. In a time of isolation, stress, and loneliness, Fredrickson's argument is urgent. And rather than depressing, Love 2.0 shows simply and how, without spending any money, we can upgrade our daily interactions to improve mind, body, and spirit. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.